finished high school.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
He found a nightclub he could work at the door. She had a guitar and she taught.
This opening number, Into the Great Wide Open, is brought to us by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We'll be hearing more about and from graduation rock song artist later on in today's program. But first, these trivia questions.
Skies of blue. Out in the great wide open. A rebel without a clue.
Our trivia questions come to us today from www.triviaplane.com. Question number one, who became the first country singer to enter the U.S. pop album chart at number one? Was it A, Garth Brooks, B, Charlie Pride, C, Johnny Cash, D, Dolly Parton, or E, Mick Jagger? Hint, some of this singer's big hits were much too young to feel this damn old. If Tomorrow Never Comes and The Dance. So who was that, the first country singer to enter the U.S. pop album chart at number one? Question number two, Levi Stubbs sang lead vocals with which group? Was it A, Derek and the Dominoes, B, The Ventures, C, The Four Tops, D, The Beatles, or E, The Commodores? Hint, here's a snippet from this group's catalog.
Baby, I need your love. Baby, I need your love.
So, what's the name of this group? Levi Stubbs sang lead vocals for this group. What's the name of it? Answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our first transitions article comes to us from the obituaries section of The Week magazine, May 27, 2011. Cornell Dupree, 1942 to 2011. Until Cornell Dupree came on the scene, legendary Atlantic Records producer Jerry Wexler would hire three or more guitarists for a recording session. That led time and again to a hellacious mess as the three guitarists got in each other's ways, Wexler said. That changed when Dupree appeared. One man playing rhythm and lead at the same time took the place of three. Born in Fort Worth, Dupree first took up the saxophone, said the Washington Post, but he traded it for a guitar after seeing Johnny Guitar Watson perform. Before long, he started sitting in with older R&B musicians, and in 1961, saxophonist King Curtis hired him. One of his bandmates was a hot young guitarist named Jimi Hendrix, with whom he often jammed until dawn. But where Hendrix was a born showman, Dupree was, in the words of writer and musician Josh Allen Friedman, the ultimate unshow-off. That difference to the spotlight, along with his versatility and skill, made Dupree the ideal session musician, said the Los Angeles Times. Although his playing was rooted in tough, urbanized Texas blues, he quickly developed a style of his own, investing solo lines with subtle harmonic references and bringing rhythm passages to life with buoyantly propulsive accents. His sassy, sliding introduction energized Aretha Franklin's Respect, and his rhythmic plucking lent crucial support to the horns on Mariah Carey's Emotion. When Miles Davis swerved away from his noisy mid-1970s funk workouts to record the brassy, swaggering Red China Blues on Get Up With It, Dupree's choppy chords anchored the tune. Although he played on hundreds of well-known hits, he was nicknamed Mr. 2500 in reference to the number of dates he had played on. Wide fame eluded him, but Dupree was content with the respect of his peers. "Regular people don't know who he is," said his son, Cornell III, "but there's not too many musicians who don't know him." And the regular section of our transition section comes to us once again from BGORecords.com, from their series Today in Rock History. And today is the weekend of May 27th. What were the number one hits this weekend? Well, back in 1966, it was Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman. And the Chi-Lites, Oh Girl, was number one on this weekend back in 1972. 1983, it was Irene Cara, Flashdance, at number one this weekend. And finally, Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rear View, 1995, was number one this weekend. If you were born on May 27th, you share a birthday with Ramsey Lewis, the In Crowd. He was born on May 27, 1935. Neil Finn of Crowded House, he's from New Zealand, very well-known artist there. May 27th, 1958. Or if you were born on May 28th, you share a B-Day with T-Bone Walker, U.S. blues singer, 1910. And Papa John Creech, he was born on May 28th, 1917. As was Gladys Knight, she was born on May 28th also, but back in 1944, Midnight Train to Georgia. John Fogerty, also born on May 28, 1945, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Deaths this weekend include Mary Lou Williams, the so-called Queen of Kansas City Pianists, died on May 28, 1981. Miscellany in rock history this weekend, well, back in 1957, it was the Crickets releasing That'll Be the Day, and 10 years later today, it was 1967, Jimi Hendrix hits the charts with Are You Experienced? And back in 1969, this weekend, Creedence Clearwater Revival debut on the charts with Proud Mary. Back in 1972, this weekend, it was Cat Stevens releasing Remember the Days of the Old Schoolyard, appropriate for this graduation genre today. 1976, Allman Brothers break up. And back in 1977, a year later this weekend, it was the Sex Pistols' God Save the Queen, released in the UK. Finally, back in 1983, David Bowie's Serious Moonlight Tour continues with the appearance at a festival for which he and Van Halen are paid $1.5 million each. And in local rock news, we see this article by Matt Garfield, Raleigh Concert to Aid Tornado Victims. This was published in the News and Observer on the 17th of May, 2011. Raleigh. Triangle musicians will come together to raise money for victims of the April 16th tornadoes. Local rockers, the Connells, headline Rise Up Raleigh June the 3rd, featuring nearly a dozen bands, street performers, and vendors on streets surrounding the Raleigh Amphitheater. Admission is free, but concertgoers are asked to give money at the door for Interfaith Food Shuttle, Centro Internacional de Raleigh, Helping Hands Mission and Salvation Army of Wake County. It's going to be real simple, Mayor Charles Meeker said Monday. We're not going to mess around with a bunch of tickets. Come here, make a donation. The idea for a benefit concert came from City Council member Marianne Baldwin, who took to Twitter on the night of the storms to explore ways to help. We are trying to raise money, but it's also a celebration, Baldwin said Monday. The event resembles Raleigh Wide Open, an annual downtown festival canceled this year because of city budget cuts. Bands will perform at no charge, and corporate sponsors will cover the cost, Meeker said, so all proceeds will go to victims. The goal is to raise $100,000. The Salvation Army will use its share to help 112 families with costs not covered by federal disaster aid and insurance. Major Pete Costas said, among the top needs, temporary housing, first month rent, furniture, appliances, and gas. More than 200 Raleigh homes were damaged or destroyed. The city suffered more than $115 million in residential and commercial structural damage. Article skips down and ends with this. Meeker said a tornado struck just 200 yards south of the amphitheater, making it a fitting spot for a community rally. The lineup encompasses a little bit of everything, folk, hip-hop, rock, said Dave Rose, co-owner of Deep South Entertainment, a Raleigh firm that booked the acts. The Connells played in June during the grand opening of the Raleigh Amphitheater, a 5,600-capacity venue next to the Raleigh Convention Center. If you cannot attend the concert but would still like to donate, go to UnitedWayTriangle.org/tornado. The bands, here's a list of acts expected to participate. Performances run from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. on June the 3rd. The Connells, as mentioned earlier. Red Sonja Band, Aunt Martha. Motor Skills, Young Cardinals. Cooley High, The Small Ponds. Marcy Playground, and The Love Language. This next article comes to us from David Menconi, published in the News and Observer on the 23rd of May, 2011, entitled, Steve Martin Doesn't Fail to Please, Durham. Back when he made his bones doing stand-up comedy, Steve Martin used to demonstrate why the banjo is the happiest of all instruments. He'd plunk out a tune on his banjo while crooning, Oh, death and grief and sorrow and murder! And yet came out sounding kind of joyful. But that was nothing compared to his Saturday night show at the Durham Performing Arts Center, backed up by the Brevard Bluegrass Quintet's Deep Canyon Rangers. Martin was musically and comedically droll from the moment he strode on stage in the white suit that has long been his trademark. Thank you and good night, he said in response to the audience's standing ovation, drawing the first of many laughs. We're going to start with a song we have all completely memorized. Almost all of the 22 songs they played during the two-hour-plus set were Martin's originals, including the opening Pitkin County Turnaround. Everyone on the front line took a solo, including Martin himself, establishing his musical credibility right off the bat. The article skips down and ends with this. The highlights included Wally on the Run, a song about a game of fetch that concluded with an actual dog running onto the stage, Martin's recurrent jokes about Rangers guitarist Woody Platt's name, which he said sounded like it came from a bluegrass name generator, Atheists Don't Have No Songs, a gospel-style a cappella tune sporting what might be the greatest terrible vocal in music history, and an encore version of Orange Blossom Special featuring virtuoso fiddlework from Nikki Sanders, who worked in flourishes of everything from the Beatles' Norwegian Wood to Handel's Messiah. A dilettante is someone who dabbles in things he knows nothing about, Martin said at one point. Well, he might be a wild and crazy guy, but Martin ain't no dilettante. And this follow-up article, Steve Martin to perform at Capitol on 4th of July. This is written by Sandy Cohen, AP Entertainment writer, and it was published on the 24th of May, 2011. Los Angeles. Steve Martin and his banjo are taking on the U.S. Capitol on July the 4th. The 65-year-old entertainer is set to perform from the Capitol's West Lawn during the annual A Capitol 4th concert this year. Josh Groban, Little Richard, Glee star Matthew Morrison, American Idol winner Jordan Sparks, and Broadway star Kelly O'Hare also share the bill. Martin said his participation in the patriotic event inspired him to write a new song called Me and Paul Revere, which talks about Revere's infamous ride from his horse's perspective. Martin will play the tune with his band, the Steep Canyon Rangers. Jimmy Smits will host the 4th of July concert, which will be broadcast on PBS, National Public Radio, and the American Forces Network. So, what do you know about today's feature genre? Graduation rock and roll. The top 40 graduation songs of all time, the best songs for graduation and commencement ceremonies and parties, is an article written by Bill Lamb in About.com Guide. Graduation or commencement is one of the most important and memorable ceremonies in life. The music that accompanies the ceremony will often be remembered right along with the events of the day. These are 40 of the most proven and durable songs for helping you celebrate a graduation. Please note that not all of the 40 songs are included in this reading. At number 40 is Florence and the Machine, Dog Days Are Over. For those who have seen high school as something to be endured as much as enjoyed, this stirring hit from Florence and the Machine will provide an outstanding soundtrack for leaving high school behind and facing a brighter future. At number 38, Boston, Don't Look Back. Boston's rousing pop rock anthem from the 1970s is still a powerful song for helping celebrate the new day breaking that is represented by graduation. At number 37 is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They opened today's program, by the way. This song is Learning to Fly. Graduation is just the first step into a world of the unknown. If you're going to truly soar, first, you have to learn to fly. At number 36 is Nickelback's If Today Was Your Last Day. Nickelback gives a strong musical reminder to graduates to live every moment and approach life as if this was your last. It also is filled with advice on focusing on what is truly important in life and letting the rest fall away. At number 31, Taylor Swift, A Place in This World. This song by Taylor Swift is most appropriate for female graduates. However, its air of quiet confidence in the face of the unknown coming ahead is certainly applicable for graduates of any gender. At number 29, The Beach Boys, Graduation Day. This Beach Boys song is somewhat rare. However, it is well worth hearing and adding to the mix of songs played at the time of graduation. Coming in at number 28 is the song you hear in the background, Queen, We Are the Champions. This Queen classic never fails to provoke a warm, possibly tearful, sing-along.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake.
Coming in at number 21, Yael Naim, New Soul. Yael Naim sings about being a new soul in this world and the mistakes one is bound to make. However, she is forthright in stating this scary new place brings joy in addition to fear. At number 16, Mariah Carey, Hero. Mariah Carey's hit, Hero, is a great reminder that if you look deep inside, you can find powerful inner strength. Even if you feel alone, you can find someone within to support and to guide you. And at number 12, 10,000 Maniacs, These Are Days. This 10,000 Maniacs classic from the band's years with Natalie Merchant as lead vocalist will help identify the time of graduation as a time when you'll know that you are touched by something that will grow and bloom in you. The song closes with the hopefulness that awareness of direction for the future will make itself known in any moment.
If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar.
And coming at number 9, R. Kelly. I Believe I Can Fly. If you have a choir at your graduation ceremony, this is the perfect song to give them to sing. It is pure inspiration for the future.
But I see your true color.
And coming in at number 8, Cyndi Lauper, True Colors, tailor-made for those who have endured difficult years. Cyndi Lauper's 80s hit is also a warm reminder that all of us are beautiful. And rounding out the top 5, Josh Groban, You Raise Me Up. Number 4, Idina Menzel, Defying Gravity, from Wicked. Number 3, Green Day, Good Riddance, Time of Your Life. Number 2, Vitamin C, Graduation, Friends Forever. And coming in at number 1, Sir Edward Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance, a rock version of which will close today's program, by the way. This work by English composer Sir Edward Elgar was first played in Liverpool, England in 1901. It was first played at a graduation ceremony in the U.S. in 1905, when Elgar was invited to Yale University to receive an honorary degree. Today, the trio section, Land of Hope and Glory, that begins just under 2 minutes in, is played as a processional at nearly every graduation ceremony across the country. This next article was published in the News and Observer on the 15th of May, 2011, by Celia Rivenbark, and it's entitled, Idol Needs Tiger Mom on the Panel. I'm thinking it's time for Amy Chua to sashay on over to American Idol and inject a little backbone into the current judging trio. You may remember Chua, the self-described tiger mom who wrote a bestseller last year, detailing her unusual, to Americans anyway, style of child rearing, no TV, no sleepovers, all excellence all the time. That is why she needs to take over the fourth chair at Idol, because, as Time magazine recently summed up the show's meh quality, the problem with liking everything is that it becomes meaningless to like anything. The show is becoming like those granola ball teams where they don't keep score and everybody gets a trophy. Back in the day, it was up to Simon Cowell to reduce undeserving singers to simpering piles of goo, but he's gone now, and instead there are three of the gosh darn nicest folks on earth giving quote-unquote criticism. Since no one will step up, and I had high hopes for J-Lo, it's time to recruit Chua to do the dirty work. Famous for calling her young daughter's artwork garbage, she'd be the perfect replacement for Cowell. You call that music, she would rail, while some poor sap from Big Toe, Idaho, or wherever, would begin to wilt in front of his family, who, up to this point, had been cheering and happily grinning as if they had good sense. My daughters played like that in kindergarten, she'd hiss at the earthy folk singer in the natural fibers and oatmeal scrubbed face. Yes, there are just times when you need a semi-maniacal perfectionist to give you the bad news. You stink. Here's a little secret. I like keeping score. When others would sniff at how Da Hubby insisted on keeping score at the princess's t-ball games, I inwardly purred with pride. What was the point, after all, if nobody knew who the winners and not winners were? Oh, you can't use the dreaded loser word, because to do so would surely send hordes of children to therapy. Or not. Last month, the princess's middle school chorus participated in a huge talent show that's held every year to showcase musicians and singers and dancers from all the local public schools. Three stood out, not saying who, because it doesn't matter and you wouldn't know them anyway. I was figuring first, second, and third place was ridiculously easy to assign. But when it came time to announce the winners and award a trophy to the schools that clearly did the best job, bupkis. They don't pick winners, explained the princess. It's not a competition. Everybody's a winner. Who is this child? And sure enough, everyone just clapped one last time and started putting their coats on and leaving the auditorium. I pine for Amy Chua to show up and block the exits. Not so fast, she'd say. Not so fast. Aerosmith. So how'd you do on those trivia questions anyway? Question 1, who became the first country singer to enter the U.S. pop album chart at number 1? The answer to that was, in fact, Garth Brooks, answer A. And question number 2, Levi Stubbs sang lead vocals with which group? That was answer C, the Four Tops. Hey, guess what? Not everyone loves rock music. Nothing profound there, of course, but the fact that TRS does not currently have programs that cover other forms of music have led some of us to consider expanding the offerings within this program. But what do you, the listeners, think about making this program more about music in general and less about rock and roll specifically? Rock would still be a valuable component of the program, but other forms of music, from classical to jazz to country and from local to international, could constitute major sections of each broadcast. Please phone us at 832-5138 and offer your input. This is, after all, your radio program. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Program readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.